When Mary went to go visit her cousin, Elizabeth, Luke records a song she sang. In fact, in Luke's first two chapters, there are five songs recorded. There's one song by Elizabeth, a song by Mary, the hymn of Zechariah, the singing of angels, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace on whom his favor rests, and then the song of Simeon. And, you know, we don't know if she wrote it on the spot or whether this was simply Mary treasuring these moments and thinking about them. But whatever the case, this teenage girl knew Scripture. And remember, in this culture, it was only the boys who went through formal education in the Scriptures, although this didn't keep parents from teaching their children what God had done. In fact, this is what was commanded of them, that throughout the year they would have special times of telling those stories of the things that God had done. And Mary's teenage heart and mind were already saturated with the Word of God. Her song not only echoes two of Hannah's prayers found in 1 Samuel, but also draws on the law, the Psalms, the prophets, and it keeps God's covenant promises to Abraham in mind. And what I want to point out tonight is something that Mary pointed out in her song. The birth of Jesus was simply God keeping his promises. Mary sang, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Just as he promised. Mary recalled God's promises to her people and the fulfillment of those promises in the child that she was carrying. And I love how she starts her song of praise. It's deeply personal. She praises God for what he did for her personally. And I want to ask you tonight, have you done that lately? Have you thanked God for what he has done for you personally? And this is what she does. It's personal. It's a personal prayer. Look what she calls him. Yes, God is Savior, but he's my Savior. Yes, God made promises to all of creation, but God has made promises to me as well. God was bringing the Savior of the world in, and she was carrying her own Savior. Christmas is simply God fulfilling his promises. God told us through his prophets what he was going to do. The fulfillment of these promises, just like in Mary's song, just like in her own heart and her own life, that when we see that these promises fulfilled, it brings people to believe in God, to trust in him, to love him. Jesus once said, "I am telling you now, before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. I am who I am." This has been God's practice throughout all of history. He would tell his prophets what he was going to do. The prophets would tell the people what God was going to do. And when God fulfilled that promise, people would put their trust in him. And without question, this song of Mary's is one of the most beautiful in Scripture, rivaling any of those found in the Psalms. And it's written by a teenage girl who recognizes God's promises and his fulfillment in the child that she was carrying. And those covenant promises go all the way back to her patriarch, Abraham. Those promises were spoken through prophets like Moses and Isaiah and Jeremiah, Zechariah, Micah, and even King David. From as early as 1,400 years before Jesus, promises were made by God such as these, and you've got some outlined in your folder. You can take those home and read these on your own. But there were promises that God made before this even took place, promises like a prophet, like Moses, would appear that people needed to listen to. And though they had prophets, they were looking for the prophet. And then he would be a prophet This prophet would be a man, but he would be more than a man. There are prophecies that call him Emmanuel, and Matthew translates that for us, meaning God with us. He would be called Jesus, his name meaning the Lord saves. His birth would be a virgin birth, the prophecy said. He would be born in Bethlehem of the tribe of Judah and a descendant of King David. One prophecy even stated that this child born to us, this son given to us, would be called Wonderful Counselor. This child given to us would be called Almighty God. This son given to us would be called Everlasting Father. He would be called Prince of Peace. And his coming would be preceded by a messenger. He would perform miracles. He would heal. He would come into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, one prophecy says. He would be rejected and would be betrayed with 30 silver coins. This is prophecy. When he was accused, he would remain silent. And Isaiah prophesied that he would die for our sins. In fact, King David in Psalm 22 even gives the details of how he would die, that his hands and his feet would be pierced. And this is long before this way of death, this means of death, was even invented. He would be buried in a rich man's tomb, prophecy says, and yet he would be resurrected. His body would not see decay. There are over 350 prophecies fulfilled in one person, in Jesus Christ. God made promises telling us what he would do, and his promises are fulfilled in one person, God's Son, Jesus Christ. And his promises have a purpose, that when we see God fulfilling them, he makes a promise, and he fulfills them, and he has fulfilled them in Jesus, that what it would do for us is that we would trust him, we would love him, we would put our faith in him. We would follow him. And Christmas is simply God keeping his promises. And this is what one teenage girl recognized. God promised he would save the world by being the savior of the world. Is he your savior? Have you trusted him for salvation? Have you given your life to him? Think about Christmas. God, yes, was fulfilling his promises to all of creation, but he is fulfilling his promises to you individually, personally. Yes, he gave us a gift, for God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only son, and that he gave the whole world his son, but he's given this gift to you as well. My encouragement to you tonight is that you would open this gift and make it yours, but that you would also open yourself up to this gift as well. Open yourself up to him tonight. Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, your prophet Isaiah said that a land that was once in darkness would see a great light. And it was your desire to bring your son into the world as the light of the world. I pray, Father God, that those of us who have trusted in you and have the light of the world living in us, Lord, would be as Jesus once said, that we would be the light of the world. And Father, I pray for my friends here this evening who may not have a relationship with you yet. I pray that tonight might be one of those steps forward in opening themselves up to you, in allowing your light to shine in dark places. Lord, let your light shine upon us. Let your light shine in this dark world that we live in. It seems that there's no greater time than now for you to shine your light through us to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.